But we're grateful you're here with us this morning. And today is calendar Pentecost Sunday. It's that day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit into that upper room in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit empowers God's people to step out in a whole new way. If you remember, Jesus promised that he would send his helper. So I would invite you in the days ahead. There is a 5-day devotional on the YouVersion Bible app. We'd encourage you to join us for the next 5 days as we celebrate what that really means. I think in our Christian traditions, we know a lot about God the Father, and we know about Jesus and all that he walked. Sometimes I think there's confusion over the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so that's actually going to be where we're going to step off in our message series here for the next couple weeks, just to talk about who the Holy Spirit is and what role do they play, and then how do we participate with our Christian faith in following the direction of the Holy Spirit. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music, Worship Together has put together a helpful playlist of music that may encourage you to better understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the life of the church. As we push through our series on how to bless our neighbor, I began to think that one of the difficulties I think we all have, and you remember the five practices, we just ended the series last week, but the idea of beginning with prayer. And I think if we are intentional in understanding how God works, that there's many opportunities that will come in front of us that we'll be able to share the hope of the gospel that's in us, and that we don't have to be fearful that it's all dependent upon us, but really the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through us. And so over these next couple weeks, we're going to lean into just a deeper understanding. For some, it may be a refresher for who the Holy Spirit is, and then the role that they have and how we can tap into the power. We are beginning a new message series called Dunamis, Encountering the Power of the Holy Spirit. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and how the Spirit acts and works and moves in our lives. As we celebrate today, Pentecost Sunday, that day when the Holy Spirit came in that upper room in Jerusalem and empowered the church to become the church. And the church was begun at that point in a very formal way. Well, you may not think, the truth is in our lives, I think many of us think that we're alone in as we fight our battles, if you will, as we live our lives, that it seems like we just have to work really hard at it. And so part of the journey I want to walk through in the next couple weeks is just looking at this person called the Holy Spirit and what role they can play in our lives. I mean, it seems as though we're the ones responsible for doing the hard work of life, work, family, driving the car, literally, whatever it is. There are just so many different ways that we seem to be responsible. And yet, what's interesting is in our culture, we're taught the value of individual responsibility. But at the same time, many of us may try to shirk that individual responsibility by blaming others. In fact, in our current culture, it seems as though people are not willing to take personal responsibility for their actions. We are all personally responsible for our own choices. We are, in fact, not alone in what we do. Let me ask you this. What if we had a helper who was always there with us in life's most difficult moments? I want you to think about this like an assistant or a best friend, a buddy, if you would, that could come to our aid when we need it. The good news is, and that's the point of looking at this person called the Holy Spirit, is we do have that help. That we are not left alone when we need things. The scriptures call this helper the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings power into our lives and is with us when we are in need. So when we look at scripture, it comes out of a very powerful story where Jesus is promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. He talked about it just before he ascended into heaven. He says this. In fact, these are his last words with his disciples while he's on earth. So they're pretty important. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see, Jesus promises his disciples that they're going to receive power. And this power would come directly from the Holy Spirit, who would help the disciples become Jesus' witnesses wherever they went. The word power in Greek The original language that's spoken here in the New Testament is dunamis. Can you say that word? Dunamis? And actually, we get the English word dynamite from it. So essentially, Jesus promises his disciples that they will receive a power unlike any other power they had experienced previously. This power provided by the Holy Spirit is dynamite power. So as we go forward in this series, I want us to discover the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We're going to use an icon each week to help us better understand. These icons will help us describe the Holy Spirit. Today, the icon we're going to use is that of wind. One of the most incredible and powerful descriptions of the Holy Spirit is that of wind. Like a breath flowing from God the Father, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God as he moves in our midst today. When I think about wind, I'm reminded it's something that can be felt and its effects seen, but it itself cannot be seen. This method is also the way the Holy Spirit seems to work. Since the Holy Spirit is Spirit, he cannot be seen, but the effects of what he does of the Holy Spirit can be seen. Like a wind, the Holy Spirit can be gentle as a breeze and bring comfort. At the same time, the Holy Spirit can come in mighty power, like a tornado or hurricane. And I'm going to guess you may not fully understand what I'm saying right now. I hope that by the end of our conversation over the next couple of weeks that you'll have a little bit better understanding of this wind of God called the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the person of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has a powerful role in creation. In fact, did you know that the Holy Spirit was present with God when we created the earth? Look here in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That image of the Holy Spirit hovering over the darkness is a lot like a gentle wind, which you'll remember is the icon we're looking at for this week. The wind-like Holy Spirit was present at creation and existed even before the creation of the world, which means that the Holy Spirit, like God the Father and Jesus the Son, is eternal. In other words, the Holy Spirit has no beginning or end. And what's important to realize is that the Holy Spirit has been at work from the beginning of time and will continue to be at work forever into eternity. Now, while the Holy Spirit was present at creation, the Holy Spirit works in our world today and even in our lives in a very different way compared to how the Father and the Son do. Let's look at the words of Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." You can almost hear the urgency and the rush that's in Jesus' voice here. He pleads with the disciples to understand that his time on earth is limited and that he's got to go. So as to not to worry the disciples, Jesus urges them that it is for the advantage of the disciples that he leaves so that the Holy Spirit can come and help guide them even more deeply in their faith. Not only is it important that Jesus leave, but it's also to their advantage that he go away. Jesus, the one who had spent 3 years with these disciples, is saying, "I have to leave, but don't worry, because I am sending someone better to help you. The person will actually help you even more than I can now." And here's why that's so important. You see, Jesus was just one person when he was here on earth. And as one person, even Jesus was limited because he could only be in one place physically at a time. And this is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes, because the Holy Spirit is Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not limited to space or time. Don't get stuck on that. This may seem really complicated. The Holy Spirit can be present everywhere at once and at all times. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind the disciples and us even today of Jesus and all that Jesus did and said. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus and all that Jesus taught and did, As the Holy Spirit works and moves in our lives, He teaches us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit does also to work in the world. He is present for all persons and works through the followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came as a gift at Pentecost, the Sunday that we celebrate in our church calendar, but more about that as we go ahead here in the next couple weeks. But let's talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now that we've talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, here's three areas in which the Holy Spirit is at work: to convict, to comfort, and to contribute. So the idea of convict, we just looked in John chapter 16, where we see that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict non-believers of their sins. And the Holy Spirit also helps believers stay holy when they are tempted to sin, as well as the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring about holiness and a holy way of living in all situations. Conviction is important since it helps us to realize right and wrong. So the Holy Spirit convicts, but it also comforts. And in Isaiah, the writer says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." See, the Holy Spirit brings comfort to the followers of Jesus, but the goal of the Holy Spirit is not to make us comfortable, like being in a nice warm bed. Comforting means that the Holy Spirit seeks to work for our benefit in helping us better follow Jesus. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit our intercessor. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8, which means that the Holy Spirit speaks to God when we cannot find the words to say. And also the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's the one who helps us know where to go and what to do. This comfort the Holy Spirit brings is powerful since it helps us to know what to do and when to do it, which is part of the reason why we're leaning into it now to think about, having come out of our series on the blessed practices, of how do we get this job done? Well, part of it is to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to bring into our lives those moments to share our stories and invite people into God's larger purpose. So the Holy Spirit convicts us, He comforts us, and then this idea of contributing, and here's what I mean by that. The way the Holy Spirit contributes is through providing gifts to believers. We usually call these things spiritual gifts and fruits of the Spirit. I mean, here at Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there are no law, Paul says. You see, we'll look more into that because the idea is helping each of us find our spiritual fit in the kingdom. And we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. Your challenge as you lean into today will be a little bit different than the challenges you'll be given later as we move through this series on the Holy Spirit. This week is a little bit like drinking from a fire hose. For some, you understand much or most of what we've talked about, and you want to dig more. And I'm going to guess there's others who are thoroughly confused and maybe a little weirded out by all this Spirit talk. And for probably the majority, though, you have heard some of what we've talked about before, but you're not completely clear as to how the Holy Spirit works or what it means for your everyday life. And so the challenge for each person right now, whether you are a committed Christian or even a skeptic non-believer, or maybe a confused, unclear follower of Jesus, is simply to commit to leaning into this series, to actually leaning into this five-day devotional plan on Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, so that we can begin to experience this power that Jesus talked about that comes from this person, the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit can bring to us in our daily lives. And I can tell you in my own story, each week it seems as though there are opportunities that God continues to present in ways through His Holy Spirit where I find courage to be what I'm supposed to be. And it comes out of my intimate time. It comes out of conversations in our home. It comes out of even these times where we are talking about what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus. The reality is that the Holy Spirit is there to equip us. And it's in a real world kind of context that we all face these struggles. And even if you'd look back over where we've been for the last 15 or 16 months, part of it has been trying to wrap our minds around a world that has radically changed, and to equip ourselves to lean into that, no matter whether we're a student in high school, even elementary school, or we're someone who's in an age of retirement, of how do we bring the hope that we have in knowing Jesus to a broken world. And I can tell you, I've experienced the incredible power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it. I wish I could see it more often than I do. And it's in those moments where I can tell you that the Holy Spirit is real. And that's the only way, it's only because of the Holy Spirit that these things have taken place. And that there's a real power that's brought about by this person called the Holy Spirit. And so my challenge to us, all of us, is to be open to how God will lead you as you encounter this, as you read His Word. And I hope you'll join into the study so that we can better together understand what it is the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us, and how we together corporately can change the world because of the good work that He'll do. But let's pray.